Friends, our scripture reading today is from Isaiah chapter 9. It is among the most profound readings that are given during the Advent season. It is a promise of hope. It is a promise that carried the people through dark times. That off in the distance beyond the horizon of what they could see, God would be at work. That God was going to do something beyond the ordinary, which God was always at work. God was bringing the extraordinary, and the promise of that gift held the people in difficult times. And as I read these words from the 9th chapter of Isaiah, I want to invite you to listen to them deeply. They are not only beautiful, poetic, but they are profoundly meaningful. They speak deeply into the struggles of our life. Listen in them for what God continues to say to us. The people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. On those who live in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the spoils. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be a fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The word of the Lord, and thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Prince of Peace, bring peace to us. Find us in our homes, or vehicles, or offices, or wherever we encounter your word, and speak to the deep anxieties of our heart. With the beautiful promise that unto us a son is born. May it change us and challenge us. May it confront us and comfort us. Now and always. Amen. Many years ago, I saw an interview with a man named Byron Ferguson. Byron Ferguson is a world-class archer, a bow and arrow archer, and he is known for traveling and putting on shows where he would do these incredible displays of accuracy and probably the crowd favorites. He would do trick shots. He shoots a longbow, which is a modern version of a stick with a string on it. And he does things like shoot moving targets, shoot arrows one after the other into the same place, shoot through wedding rings, and probably the trick he's best known for, he has an assistant who throws up an aspirin, a tablet of aspirin into the air, and Byron would shoot and explode the aspirin. And they've done it in slow motion in every way you can think of. And in this interview, they were talking about that shot in particular, saying how hard it was, and the interviewer asked, Byron, how do you do it? How do you hit an aspirin with an arrow. And I don't remember word for word, but what Ferguson said was roughly this: I aim and I practice a lot. Which I think is a great answer, because people tend to think that there's some magic secret to being good at something. When you see an artist who is great at her work, when you see an extremely talented musician or an athlete that excels, we have a tendency to say they're talented, which completely is true. They are talented, but that's only part of it. We undervalue the hundreds and thousands of hours of work and study and practice and failure that have gone into that result. We see only their end product, which looks easy. And we think, well, it is for some people. I guess it's just easier for them. And when we think that, we miss the effort that whatever the result is, takes the person who does it. And I start there today with the idea of practice, of work, because today we confront the theme of peace. Now, depending on which tradition you follow, peace is either the second or first Sunday of Advent, but in 2020, we felt like it was best to start with hope, so we're treating it on the second Sunday. And the challenge of considering peace is that we tend to think that peace in general, and peace-filled people in particular, just happens. In other words, some people are just good at peace. They don't worry as much. They're not anxious as much. They don't get angry as much as the rest of us. They don't hold on to grudges. Things don't offend them the way that they do the rest of us. And we think that those people who are peaceful or who are peacemakers, who are steady and stable, are just that way. That some people, even in strange and difficult times, somehow don't resort to ranting or being afraid or complaining or criticizing. They're made of different stuff. It's just not in them to attack others or to stir up conflict. But I want to challenge that idea. Because in the Scripture, especially in the New Testament, peace is less an external reality than an internal reality. Peace is something we have to work on. It's not a light switch. It's a dial. Essentially, peace is the byproduct of trust. It's connected to hope, which is why it comes second this year. And because it's eternal, internal, when we see the outcome of it in people's lives, just like art or music, we can assume that it just happens. But what we don't see is what builds peace in a person's life. When we look at that peaceful person, what we don't see are the hours of prayer, the coming through of various struggles, time spent in the Word, hard work of forgiving someone who has hurt them. We don't see the work that goes into having peace. And so we think it's all or nothing. We think you have it or you don't. We don't understand often that peace, long before it's an external reality, is almost always an internal battle. The battle of peace is fought first in our heart, and then in our relationships it flows out. Then into the lives of other people it comes out. But it starts inside, because if we wait for the world to be calm and quiet long enough to find peace, it rarely happens. The world rarely carves out a space quiet enough for us to have peace externally. It doesn't move from the outside in. Peace always moves from the inside out. Remember that story? Jesus is in the boat with his disciples and he's sleeping and there's a storm and they're afraid. I love that story. Because it's such a wonderful picture of peace. It is great when the storm goes away. It will be outstanding when the storm that we're in subsides. When we go back to whatever we consider normal, when we're finished with daily counts and vaccine reports, and when all of that stuff is behind us, that will be a wonderful day and we will celebrate it. But if we wait for that future moment to have peace, we will often miss it. Because peace is also, and maybe firstly, the calm during the storm. Peace doesn't just live on the other side of the struggles. Peace is what we have to find in the midst of them. Because let's tell the truth, many of our harshest storms are not out there. They're in here. Most of the unrest we feel has little to do with the world and a lot to do with ourselves. Peace is more than the hope that things will get better. Peace believes that things will get better, but peace is not circumstantial. Peace doesn't depend on that. We hope that the externals will change. We hope that things will be okay. We're living that out daily. But even when they don't, peace rests in the knowledge that we are safe in God's hands, not in our circumstances, but in our souls. Nothing changes the reality that God is God, that we are loved, that Christ is our Savior. And since God is our ultimate hope and our ultimate reality, we can be at peace even in the chaos of the world. Not easy. And it doesn't just happen. But if Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace, then God is the King of Peace, and we are recipients of peace. It is there for us. If we're willing to do the work, to learn to trust, if we are willing to spend some moments in prayer and confession and sitting with the promises of Scripture and forgiving others, if we are willing to take a break from the voices that profess fear and gloom and doom, and instead listen for the still small voice of our Savior. If we look to the circumstances of the world to have peace in our heart, we will likely struggle. Because let's be honest, what no history book will ever say of the year 2020 is that it was a year filled with peace. But what Jesus says time and time again is, "Peace be with you." Which means even in the midst of a time like this, when there are so many reasons to be upset and worried and anxious, Jesus invites us to peace. To rest, not in the sense of not doing anything, in the sense of being calm in our heart. Resting in confidence and trust that everything ultimately will be okay, even when the circumstances are not. Because God can be trusted in this life and the next. As I watched our musicians this morning, Liz and Dave and Rochelle, sing O Come Emmanuel, and Dave and Rochelle were wearing masks, I thought, what if we could show that image to ourselves a year ago? What if in Christmas services last year we showed a glimpse of that? Imagine the confusion and the questions that go with it. But the reality is, it shows us the choice. Because here we are, in the time we're in, praying again, O come, Emmanuel. God is with us. And here we are, doing whatever it takes to worship God, to praise God together, to be a community of faith and to care for one another and to care about one another. Friends, these are the things that don't change when our circumstances do. God asks that those who seek to follow Jesus be at peace. And even work for peace in a world which often lacks it. And as we wait again to celebrate the birth of the one who thousands of years before his birth was called the Prince of Peace, we open ourselves to the reality of that gift again and again and again. We hold again the promise that he is with us. And while it may not always quiet the storm, it can quiet our hearts. This is a promise from the one who loves us. The God whom nothing changes and who is for us now and always. Amen.